Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras, Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive, and you're tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. In this episode, I spoke with David Leroux, CEO of Medicom Systems, about four areas that must be addressed to improve the usability of health IT, address interoperability issues, and minimize clinician burden. Hi, David. Thank you for joining us today, Managed Healthcare Executive, for an episode of Tuning the C-Suite podcast.
Glad to be here, and thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Oh, no problem. Glad to have you. So before we get into the conversation, can you first just tell our listeners about yourself? So more specifically, you know, what it is that you do in the mission of Medicom Systems?
Okay. I'm the CEO of Medicom. I've been with Medicomp for about 25 years now. Medicomp was founded in 1978 by Peter Goltra. His mission is to provide clinicians with the clinically relevant information they need at the point of care to support their work, to click on a problem, immediately see the relevant information they need out of the mass of information in the chart, or nowadays, hopefully soon, coming in through all the interoperability initiatives. So he started with the premise that the most powerful brain in the treatment room or in next to the hospital bed was in the clinician's brain. Mm-hmm. They've been trained, give them the information they need, push the information they need to them for the problem that they're currently thinking about. It was that simple. So for 43 years now, he's been working with an expert panel of physicians saying, when you're thinking about this clinical issue, what are the things you want to see? The lab results, the medications, the tests, but also the symptoms, the history, the physical exam findings, the social determinants of health is new, all of that. Bring that all together based on what the clinician has been trained to think about at that point in time. So it's very physician-driven, it's very clinician-driven, and also nursing, allied health professionals like speech therapists, et cetera. So we work with them, we interview them, and then we package it in a clinical knowledge engine that sits inside of other people's products as sort of the clinical core of the system to present relevant information on demand. That's our goal.
Wonderful, thank you. So as you mentioned, interoperability, that's going to be our focus of discussion today for this conversation. So it has been proven in healthcare that the pandemic has really shone a light on interoperability issues that are affecting clinicians and so on. And it's clear that improvements are needed. So can you first just share, you know, some examples that are in need of improvement in healthcare that the pandemic has influenced?
Well, it's become clear that information blocking needs to be addressed. There needs to be incentives to share information. There also needs to be some consequence if you do not. The 21st Century Cures Act is setting that up. Now, whether or not they will delay it, who knows? But it's clear that the federal government is going to focus on interoperability, particularly with Mickey Tripathi taking over at ONC, and that's been his life's work over the last few years. It's been very difficult for practicing clinicians out in the field to get the records of a patient. So just think about if you were trying to figure out if somebody was having an adverse reaction, even to a vaccine, or somebody was showing early signs of COVID versus influenza versus bronchitis, and you can't get the information in the record, you can't find the information in the record, so you end up having to repeat the process that they went through with the last provider. Lots of inefficiencies. If you can't find what you need and act upon it, the system's not working. So it's that's pointed it out, and people have been going wherever they could to get vaccines. Mm-hmm. They haven't been going to their normal providers in some cases. Somebody gets a notice to say, come here for that. You go and they start asking you questions. They don't have any information about you. They can't get it. So it's made it clear that there really isn't information sharing, let alone clinical interoperability.
Okay, thank you. And I do want to get a bit more into the Cures Act, but before I do, can you possibly share, you know, how Medicomp has possibly been affected during the pandemic?
Sure. New implementations, innovations, et cetera, on the part of healthcare enterprises that are actually delivering care have been stalled. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not a bad thing. All of a sudden, the world had to focus on how do we handle COVID? How do we staff up? How do we do this? We've had implementations on hold for over a year as we have one major implementation going on at Holy Name Medical Center in Teaneck, New Jersey, which was in the first massive wave back in April and May. Mm-hmm. All hands on deck, just dealing with capacity issues, screening issues, intake issues. So that's one thing. The other thing is, you overlay that with the threat of ransomware and cybersecurity. So all attention over the last year on the part of enterprises themselves has been on capacity, operations, COVID, and also on cybersecurity, because those are the two things over the last year that would get a CIO at a hospital fired if they could not handle that. So right. You know, people are self-protective. I mean, yeah. It's not... When I say it's stifled innovation, that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. People are doing what they had to do right. to help their enterprises survive. And I think coming out of this, we're going to be dealing with the overhanging sort of emotional trauma of the frontline workers having to take a pause and say, okay, we've reached herd immunity. Now we've got to do all the things we didn't do for the last year. So I think the next few years are a year of great opportunity for people in healthcare and healthcare IT and operations, because the pandemic has pointed out some issues, mm-hmm. has given everybody reason to be motivated to make some changes, and innovation will come out of all of this.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now you mentioned there are goals for the Cures Act to be made. Can you maybe share what are these goals that will improve interoperability?
Well, interoperability is composed of certain things. The first one is people have to be willing to share information. Mm-hmm. Okay? 21st Century Cures Act is setting up a structure for incentives and penalties for not opening up systems. That's one. Second is it promotes API-based interoperability. So it's putting in place not only a structure to provide incentives, but it's also providing some standards for how information is made available. It's also, with the move to FHIR and things like Smart on FHIR, right. It's providing structure for the content itself, and it's beginning to provide structure for the actual information that comes across, you know, certain code sets, terminology sets, etc. The biggest issue coming forward, when all that comes into play, the biggest issue is going to be, once you get all that, what are you going to do with it?
Right.
How does a provider find the information they need? That's why we're excited about the work we've been doing for the past 43 years to say, when you click on this problem, you see the information you need for that problem. That's going to happen over the next couple of years, But the 21st Century Cures Act puts in place sort of a regime to make that happen. It promotes standards. It's also given the industry the comfort that fire and API-based interoperability is here to stay. So stop waiting. Let's go.
I like it. Thank you. An information that was provided to me before our discussion, for example, how can improving clinician workflows help solve some of the issues that are needed in operability today?
Okay. Think about interoperability as opening up a pipe. Mm-hmm. Okay. You go to a sink, you turn on the faucet, you know what's going to come out, and you know what you're going to do with it. You know what to expect and you see it. One of the things that API-based interoperability does is it sets up the structure for what comes out. The issue is you can still put anything you want into it. So when it comes out, how do you find the thing that you need in all of that information? I mean, there's an old saying people quote all the time. I don't even know where it comes from. Be careful what you ask for because you might get it. If I'm sitting there as a provider and I get the entire chart for a patient from another enterprise or another physician, and it's now expected that I will deal intelligently with some sort of clinical clarity and precision on the information I receive, I better have the tools to find what I need.
Right.
There's a guy in the industry, Dr. Sam Bierstock. He actually, I think, copyrighted the thought, the phrase clinical thought flow. Instead of workflow, which is what do I do about it? It's thought flow is how do I think about this and how do I find what I need? Mm-hmm. That's where our work has been done. And I think that's going to be the next big challenge. When they turn on that pipe, how do you filter the stuff coming in? And how do you find what you need? Because mm-hmm. if I'm a nephrologist, I'm seeing the patient for kidney failure. There's certain things I want to see. I might not want to see the last time they had a cold. I might not. But I better be able to identify it, find it quickly, and act upon it. So that's going to be the next big challenge once the gates are open.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, can you also maybe dig deeper into user interfaces that are optimized to improve efficiency, experience, and end user satisfaction?
Sure. If you look at the big systems these days, you know, the big iron systems, the ones that are in most of the major medical centers, and I'm not going to name any names because they all have some of the same issues.
Okay.
Information is scattered in silos. There's a problem list. There's a medication list. There's lab orders. There's lab results. There's notes. There's all of that. It's scattered all over the place. If you have a patient who has multiple problems, or if you just want to focus on one problem, you have to go one place to look at the lab results that might be in alphabetic order. They might be in date order, but they're not connected to the problem you're dealing with. They're all in silos, mainly because historically, the large systems have been transaction processing systems to gather enough information you need in each of the domains to get paid. But now the focus, especially as we move to value-based care, is how well are you managing the clinical conditions of the patient and what outcomes are you getting? So you need to have tools that don't focus on what transactions did I do, but how is all of this information clinically connected to the thing that I care about right now with this patient at the point of care, which might be telehealth, it might be a home visit, it might be an extended care facility, it might be a treatment room, but it's still the same challenge. How do I find the things that I need and pull them together in one view so I'm focusing on what I'm thinking about as a clinician rather than trying to just find it in the chart?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Now, I want to throw maybe two things together that I'd like for you to explain a little bit further too. You mentioned, or it was mentioned, that harmonized clinical content that reduces burden can help. If you can maybe address that, what harmonized clinical content is, and also the promotion of implemented decisions that lower the burden and maybe can influence efficiency, what that'll do.
All right, well, let's talk about harmonized content first.
Okay.
When I think about harmonized content, I think about one of the large systems that has, there are probably 7,000 different lab results you can get out of a major academic medical center laboratory. Okay. And the systems historically have focused on getting the order placed and getting it processed and getting the result in. Not sharing that information, just getting that process done. So it's not uncommon for sites to have their own clinical vocabularies. They have their own, you know, order catalog. They have their own result catalog. So one of the vendors said, well, there's 400 or 500 common tests, you know, blood glucose, CBC, et cetera. Let's at least harmonize that and create a lab result record mapped to LOINC. Okay. So LOINC would be a vocabulary or a terminology that harmonizes lab content. There's another one, there's different ones, there's SNOMED, there's ICD-10, there's CPT, there's RX norm for drugs, et cetera. The National Committee on Vital and Health Statistics, Data Standards and Security Committee declared some clinical standards back in 2003. So we had to start mapping to them so that we could bring in that content. So as FHIR gains traction in the industry, they will start to say, you know, lab results should be coded in LOINC and drugs should be coded to RX norm. So that is harmonizing domains of content.
Okay.
What we've done is overlay that by linking them together to a diagnosis. So, you know, blood glucose might be mapped to 300 different diagnoses. One of them is diabetes, but having that harmonized content to begin with enables us to do that. And, okay. and not just us, any system that has standard codes will share information better than others. The trick is bringing those together and connecting them clinically for the clinician at the point of care. And that's sort of where tools like ours come in. Okay. And ours isn't the only one. There are others that do it.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then again, to if you could address the promotion of implemented decisions that lower the burden.
Typically, if you look at the way that systems have been designed in the past, as I mentioned, they've sort of been designed to track transactions and get paid. And now with the move to value-based care, it's, okay, how well are you managing the conditions of the patient? So the people who manage the patient are the clinicians, nurses, behavioral health specialists, physicians, et cetera. They know what they need. As you know, when we first started, you said, what's Medicomp's mission? And I said, to present the information that clinicians have already been trained to know that they need, et cetera. So it's really going to be critical in this new realm of value-based care to go to the clinicians and say, we're implementing some new processes. How can we help you? What do you need? Because if you ask most doctors or nurses about their healthcare IT infrastructure, and you ask them, have you been, pick one or the other. If you made them pick one or the other, have you been a victim of the system or a beneficiary of it? Most of them right now would check victim. So in order to make them a beneficiary of the system, to make them benefit from it, you've got to understand what they want and what they need. So we are hoping that as people start to implement, they will start to reach out. They did that at Phoenix Children's Hospital where our tools are implemented, and they ended up doing it completely differently than anybody would have thought once they got the clinicians involved. And they ended up getting just incredible buy-in by going out to them and saying, okay, how do you want to use the system? What do you need? Rather than, here it is, give us the data we want so that we can do what we need to do on the back end in analytics. What do you need to care for these patients better? And they loved it. It worked. They've got better outcomes. They're happier. They're finishing up earlier. They're getting better data. And it was like a revelation because it was one of the first times I'd ever seen anybody go out to the clinicians and say, tell us what you need and we'll try to deliver it. I'm not saying they got everything they wanted,
right?
But they now feel like they benefit from the system, not that they suffer from it. That's a huge change, but you've got to get them involved right from the beginning.
Definitely. Thank you for that. That's actually all I had on my end, but if there's anything, you know, you'd like to share that I didn't address or bring up about interoperability or anything that...
The only thing I'd say in closing is this will provide great opportunity to improve care, improve outcomes, and reduce clinician burnout and just make these systems function for the care of the patient rather than any other reason. So,
perfect.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time, David. And I definitely have learned more about interoperability and, you know, the issues that need addressing or improvement. So thank you for, you know, educating me.
All right, well, thanks. And Brianna, thanks for the opportunity.
No problem.
I enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.